Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ifechukwu today.
Somebody shout the joy of the Lord. Shout again, say the joy of the Lord. In Romans chapter 14, Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, began to address an issue in God's church. While there were Jewish Christians, they were Jews, but now they have come to receive Christ, but wanted to still hold on to their Jewish traditions and the laws of Moses. And you know, in the laws of Moses, they were given strict dietary, you know, laws. What to eat, what not to eat, what to drink, and what not to drink. And these ones who were weak in their conscience couldn't eat certain things. And because they wanted to hold on to those laws. And there were also the other ones who were not Jews and Gentiles and were not bound to those laws, who were free to eat certain things that they were not asked not to eat in Christ. And so some of these other Jews will begin to criticize them and begin to get offended with what they were eating. And then the other ones felt like they are the ones who are strong in grace. We are not affected by what you're affected. And Apostle Paul began to address it. And that the focus of our conviction and most importantly our actions should be not personal rights, but love and unity. To do things that build up another and not just to claim what whether you're right or wrong. But in verse 17, I think so. I want to get there. He begins to show them and say, listen, let's focus on the greater matter. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, not about laws on what to eat and not what to eat. The kingdom of God is not about all these arguments and certain laws. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Everybody shout righteousness. Righteousness. Come on, shout righteousness. Righteousness. God's rightness and his way of being right. Then he calls about, the kingdom of God is about peace. Somebody shout peace. And then he says about joy in the Holy Spirit. If you have been in this church for a few months now, you are supposed to be well taught, especially if you have gone through our Fresh Start with God program, the first program you must go into before you're certified a member of this church. If you have gone through it, by now you should know, your heart should be established that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lift your hands and declare it, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's through our faith in the finished work of Christ, not our own human doing, not our own works, but based on what Jesus accomplished for us. And so righteousness for us is a gift we receive, not something we earned. No one could be right before God on his own. And so those of us who have received the abundance of grace, and by the virtue of that grace, the gift of righteousness, reign in this life with Christ. And so, boldly again, the righteous is as bold as a lion. Lift your right hand and identify yourself. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you also know that the righteousness of God is also the justice of God. So the kingdom of God operates on the platform and on the ground of righteousness and justice. Justice, that which is right and just. Then it talks about peace in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about peace. And this peace is different from just the quietness. This peace is different from just the stillness of an environment or the stillness of circumstances, lack of troubles. No, this peace is Jesus gifted to us. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. And then when he looked at his disciples, he said to us, my peace I give to you. Not just the peace as the world gives. Because what the world gives, the world takes away. If the world makes you popular, the world can destroy you. If the world lifts you, the world can demote you. If the world gives you peace, by circumstances, they can also what? Withdraw that peace. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, the church in Philippians, talked to them about this peace that is beyond understanding. You can't explain it. It's inexplicable. So he said, concerning everything about your life, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. Make your requests known unto God. Come with supplications with thanksgiving. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, not the peace of men, not the peace of circumstances, not the peace of the natural. Somebody shout, the peace of God. Which surpasses what? Understand. That peace can make a man to be still, a man to be calm, a man to be full of faith, and a man to be in rest while a storm is raging. That's the same peace that made Jesus sleeping while the storm was raging. And others were afraid that the boat was going to capsize, that they were all going to perish. But Jesus was sleeping because he knew that he has already said, let us go to the other side. And by his word, let us go to the other side. No storm is going to make him a liar. I lift my hands today and declare that which Jesus has declared over your life, no storm of life will stop it. No storm of life will stop it. No storm of life will abort it. In the name of Jesus Christ. So tell your neighbor, be at peace. Come on, tell your neighbor, rest. Say, nothing is going wrong. Say, it's just the noise of the enemy. Say, it's just the noise of circumstances. Say, Jesus is in the boat. Say, be at peace. So peace is not the absence of storms. Peace is rest in the midst of storms. Rest. You're not agitated. You're not unsettled. You're not perturbed. You're not perplexed. No, you're not. You're not discouraged because there is a settled knowledge. There is a conviction. You are fully convinced that all things work together for your good. You are fully convinced that you know the plans of God for you, that they are plans of good and not of evil. Plans of peace and not of disaster, to give you a hope and a future, bring you an expected end. You know the word of God and the prophecy that is over your life. You have been meditating on it, you have been confessing it, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. It doesn't matter the odds that may be against you. You are settled. You have a settled knowledge. God is in it. God's hand is in it. This one too ends in praise. This one is for the glory of God. This one is working for my increase. I'm coming out brighter. I'm coming out stronger. I'm coming out shining brighter than gold. Somebody shout a big amen. Amen. Somebody shout the peace of God. Peace of God. That's why people can't understand why you have to keep singing when everything don't look rosy. It surpasses, it's beyond understanding. It doesn't make sense. Peace that does not make sense. A woman just had her son, and not just any son. She didn't have any other child for many years. She had given up on even having any child, and it didn't stop her from worshiping God. It didn't stop her from being a nice wife to her husband. It didn't stop her from being a woman that is among her people well. It didn't stop her from ministering to people and ministering especially to God's servant. It was in that place of ministering to the prophet of God, Elisha, that the prophet of God understood and saw that she didn't have a child. In fact, it was the servant of the prophet of God that showed her, don't you notice this woman doesn't have a child? And it might mean that the prophet didn't notice because this woman was taking care of many other children. She had given up. And she had told God, I love you in spite of it. I'm serving you in spite of it. I'm not going to stop in spite of it. And she didn't even ask for a child. It was the prophet of God that called and said, no, you have ministered to me and my servant. Every time we are passing through, you made your husband provide for us a lodge where we will lodge ourselves. You take care of us. No, if you give to a prophet, you're going to receive a prophet's reward. What do you want for me to do for you? Should I talk to the king? Should I speak for you? Should there be promotion, divine lifting? And she said, nothing. She was doing it not selfishly. She was doing it not transactionally. She was doing it because she loves the Lord. She loves the work of God. She perceived that that man was a holy man of God. And she said, nothing. I am well among my people. And the servant of the prophet looked at him and said, sir, this woman does not have a child. And the prophet said, wow. And I'm here. And said, by this time, according to the time of life next year, you will have your son. By this time, a prophetic word came. This is a child of prophecy. This is a child of God makes all things beautiful in his time. This is a child of due season. This is a child that came supernaturally and her only child. And God gave her a son. Imagine how she will treasure that son. Imagine how she will enjoy that son. That son now begins to grow in front of her. And one day, the son begins to cry, his head. And then the son dies. You understand? I had to explain to tell you it wasn't just death. It wasn't just a person that has five children and loses one is painful. A person that just had miscarriage is painful, but it's different from when you have only one and that one has grown in front of you. You have bonded. You have now started enjoying the laughter and the joy of having a child, and then it's taken away. What is that thing? That woman went to the husband's office while he was in the field tilling and said, I need a vehicle. Give me one of your foreigners. I want to go visit the prophet. Give me some servants to go with me. And the husband looked at her and couldn't tell what was wrong. What's that kind of thing? He said, is it okay? Because how will you just be going to meet with the prophet? That's the only reason. Couldn't tell. And that woman opened her mouth. And what came out is not, ewo. What came out is, it is well. What kind of peace is that? It is well. She goes before the man of God. The man of God sees her from afar, knowing that, no way, this woman cannot be visiting me just like that. What is it? And he said, God, what has happened that you didn't show me? Then he looks at the woman and said, is everything, what's going on? And the woman still looks at him and says, it is well. What kind of peace? If you're a man, you can understand a bit. But if you're a woman and you know the passion of the heart of a woman, you understand most. How can a woman be in the midst of the darkest valley of her life, the darkest moment of her life? That should be the most painful thing that would ever have happened to her. And yet, not her husband and not the prophet can tell. And all that comes out from her mouth is, "It is well." Do you understand the kingdom we belong to? We are no ordinary people. Though we are in this world, we are not of this world. Therefore, we don't fear their fears. We don't speak their languages. Somebody said, "Pastor, I'm just an ordinary man." I said, "That's where you lost it. You're not an ordinary man. You're a supernatural man." Somebody said, "Pastor, am I not a human being?" I said, "No, you're no longer just a human being. You are a new creation in Christ. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are full of faith. You're a citizen of heaven. You are no longer of this world. You have an helper. You have the stone of help living in you. You are full of strength. You are no longer an ordinary man. And our life is supernatural. And the life of the Spirit, the Bible describes it as the wind that flows. Where it's coming from, you do not know. Where it's going, you do not know. You only feel the effect. That's the life of the Spirit. You can't explain anything about our lives. We are sons of God. We are sons of the Spirit. There is a peace that God gives to us that can never be explained by any human being on earth. Somebody lift your hand and say, "I have the peace of God." If you believe that, shout it, "I have the peace of God." You see, you are demoting yourself. You are climbing down your throne and your high horses and going into the valley of nothingness and ordinariness. If you're trying to act like the natural man, you are not a natural man. Don't let what they say to natural man be the same thing they say to you. You are spiritual. You are born of God. You have the life of God. You have, and you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. You have the edge. You have the victory. You are no ordinary person. So somebody say, "Pastor, it's not sometimes pastors, sometimes they say things because they don't understand how we feel. They don't understand. Everything is not Bible. Everything, you're trying hard to sound ordinary, but when you're not ordinary. But if you try too hard and put your hands in the fire, you will bear the brunt of it. If you try too hard to be natural, what happens to natural men will keep happening to you. Their depression will be your depression. Their fears will be your fears. Their anxieties will be your anxieties. But you and I, we have something that mounts guard over our hearts and over our minds. Something that mounts guard over our emotions. And it's through Christ Jesus. It's called the peace of God. Listen, my heart is intact. We do not lose heart. I can never be depressed. I'm never discouraged. And I'm not saying it because I'm being braggadocious. I'm not saying it out of a sense of human pride. I'm saying it out of a sense of spiritual humility. If God gave me his peace, and if this peace mounts guard over my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus, if this peace mounts guard, I receive it. I take it. And I believe in my heart that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding mounts guard. So how can I say that on one hand and on the other hand accept that I can be depressed? I can never be depressed. So the condition of my heart is not dependent on the situation of circumstances. The condition of my heart is not dependent on what was said to me, or what happened to me, or what I feel. The condition of my heart is dependent on the peace that guards it. Wake up! Stop speaking their languages. Wake up! Stop following the systems of this world and expecting to have supernatural results. Wake up! Embrace the supernatural.
Somebody said to me, Pastor, everything is not spiritual, spiritual. I said, who? Everything in our world is spiritual, spiritual. You are either of the flesh or of the spirit. You can't be of both. You choose your truths. Choose who you will believe. Choose who you will follow. Choose where you will live your life. Choose your truth. Stop explaining and start embracing. Receive the gift of God. If God has given you peace, take it and be violent about it. When situations come against you, be violent. When the enemy comes against you, attacking your mind, be violent. For the kingdom of God suffers violence. And those who take it, those who enjoy it, those who live in the blessings of it, are those who take it by force. There are giants and there are enemies. There are fiery darts that the enemy will shoot at you to rob you. The enemy is a thief. He wants to rob you of what belongs to you. But you decide to stand your ground. And after doing, you have done everything to stand and say, no, I am in my peace. I am in my rest. The peace of God mounts guard over my heart. Somebody raise your hands one more time and shout, I have peace. And then we come to Romans chapter 14, verse 7. The other one, joy. Joy. Oh, joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 What is joy? Is joy really the absence of sorrow? Is that? Is the joy is spiritual and supernatural. There's a difference between joy and excitement. There's a difference between joy and happiness. They are not the same. I'm happy doesn't mean you're joyful. Anybody can be happy. Anybody can have an exciting life in moments and in seasons. But not anybody can be joyful. Why? Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And what does that mean? It means that only the Holy Spirit can impact that virtue on the new created spirit of a man. When a man comes to Christ and you're recreated, you become a new creation. The Holy Spirit who dwells in you imparts joy. So that joy becomes a fruit that you bear from within your spirit. There's a difference between your spirit and your mind. Your spirit and your soul are not the same. Your mind is the place where you have your intellect, your emotions, your will. That's different from your spirit. You've got to understand that. So joy can have its way in your spirit while your emotions may be feeling differently. So people confuse these things. They confuse these things. And so you, oh my time. I wish I had the time to teach this. But let me see if I can use 5 minutes. Romans chapter 9 verse 1 to 2. I want you to watch. First, I tell you the truth in Christ. This is Apostle Paul. I am not lying. My conscience
also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. All of you in the gallery, everywhere you are, the overflow, shout aloud at the back. One to go. Verse 2. I'm not hearing you. That's Apostle Paul writing. That he had great sorrow and continual grief in his heart. And when you begin to read, you know the reason. Not because he's broke, not because he's poor, but because of the state of the Israelites. Those who received the law and the word of God came to. And how they have rejected Jesus. And because of their rejection of Jesus, now the gospel has opened up to those who are not naturally Jews. And many more are receiving the gospel while the Jews were rejecting the gospel. That made him have sorrow. He said he had great sorrow and continual grief in his heart. And so far as you're in this earth, on planet earth, in this physical body, Jesus already told us, you're going to have troubles. You will have different challenges. It will come in different shades, different degrees, but everybody will have challenges they're going to be facing. Persecutions, trials, at different times. At different times. Let me give you another scripture. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. This is what he says to us. I don't know who is handling that place. Please give me the most capable hands for me. Anytime I'm on stage, don't use it for training. Don't use my messages for training. One, two, go. I'm not hearing you. And what? What's the reality? There'll be seasons that people may be weeping. There'll be seasons and times that people may be what? Weeping. Wave your hands if you're getting it. But I want to show you what joy is about. Joy is rejoicing in the face of sorrow. Joy is rejoicing in the face of sorrow. And rejoicing in the face of excitement. Do you know that there are people that certain things that make them happy and excited happens, they lose their joy because of it. And there are people that get themselves drunk. There are people that when they are supposed to be excited, for example, on their birthday, that's the day they are looking for who to sleep with. You love me. Today is my special day. They are sleeping. And after sleeping with the person that day, they're not saying, God, I'm sorry. I've done it again. But it was excitement and happiness that led them to sin. Excitement and happiness that made them take drugs. Now they are captive of the things they are excited of. So you've got to distinguish between excitement. There are people that the day they were they died, their life ended, was the day of their greatest celebration. They stayed with their friends, drank, got excited, entered the car, bam, they lost control. And that's how they died. I'm telling you the truth, real life. But that's not joy. Excitement is not joy. That you're shouting doesn't mean you're joyful. That you're feeling good. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is the expression of the life of God in you that flows in rejoicing for the works of grace in your life. You're rejoicing in the work of God's grace in your life. I'll give you an example. When a man is in a place where he should be crying, where he should be perplexed, he's supposed to be so confused, despair of life, very discouraged, and he chooses to rejoice, Let me tell you where that joy is coming from. It's coming from an assurance that God is working this one out. And there is victory in the midst of it. The Bible said that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he saw you and I. He saw on the third day. He knew the Father was not going to leave him in Sheol and in the grave. He knew that God would not allow him see corruption. He saw the third day. He saw the voice of the archangel shouting. He saw himself coming out of the grave. He saw the ancient gates being lifted up and their hairs being lifted up, even the everlasting doors. And he saw you and I. He saw us in church today. He saw the billions and billions of men that will now call God Father and will be reconciled back to God, saved eternally, that will pass from spiritual death to eternal life because of that one sacrifice. When he saw the joy, when he saw the nations praising God again, because of that joy, he endured the cross. Joy is the strength to overcome the toughest moments of your life. The strength that comes to your spirit. It comes from a deep sense of what God has done and what God is doing. You just know. How many of you, just imagine this, you've watched a match before? And you know how the match ended. One team, Team A, was winning with 4-0. 4-0 at the 70th minute of the game. The game was supposed to last for 90 minutes. But from the 75th minute, Team B scored from 75th minute to 90 minutes. 15 minutes, they scored 5 goals. And they won. You have the information. You already know how the match ended. You already know it. Now you're watching with a friend who doesn't know. He has not gotten the information. He's part and parcel. He's a fan of Team B. And at 74th minute, the team was still losing at 4-0. You know how it's going to be. The guy will be, oh God, criticizing. Oh, losing his peace, losing his cool. Why you are still better off laughing? Why are you laughing while your team is losing 4-0? Because you already know. You were previewed to the end of the game. We won at last. If you're previewed to the end of that matter, you won at last. If you're previewed, if there is a conviction that God had already finished the work before the earth began, that God already settled the problem before the problem came, that God already ordained the victory before the trials came, if you already knew that that sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God to be revealed, that God wants to make you the latest testimony, that God wants to make a message out of your mess, if you already knew, there is a way you'll be smiling while others are sorrowing. When you know how it will end, you will go through it. Somebody said, the joy set before me. How many of you can see how this year ended? If you were here that first night, and if you were here in January when the prophetic came for this year, you would have heard the word of the Lord that said, all came to pass. All came to pass. You would have heard the word of the Lord that said, 2026, an answered prayer. The Lord answered me with great and mighty deeds. With awesome hearts, he answered me. You already know. You already know. This is the year. This is the year. There won't be any carryover. The expectations of the righteous shall not be cut short. This is the year. This is the year. And my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask. And imagine all of you who receive it on the gallery, stand on your feet and shout amen. Amen. I know everybody's looking down on you. I know it doesn't look bright right now. I know it doesn't look like anything can come out of it. I know it seems as if you're forgotten, rejected. I know it seems as if you have no help and it's been taking too long. I know. But God is faithful. God makes all things beautiful in his time. If you do not give up in due season, I say in due season, and there's an anointing on me, unction to announce, your due season is today. Today is your day of favor. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your appointed time. In the name of Jesus. The joy of the Lord. So what's joy? The same apostle who wrote that he was greatly sorrowful in his heart. Stand on your feet, please, as we close this message. The same apostle is the one who wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. You see, it's not get excited about things. No, it's in the Lord. In the Lord. When something that should have made you despair happened and you cried, and there is nothing wrong for crying, but in your crying, you said, Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, I praise your name. Oh Lord, be magnified. Forever you will be God. Are you singing it? After all said and done, you're still God. You're still God. In the night, in the day, you're still God. I praise your name. After all said and done, it doesn't mean your emotions doesn't feel the pain, but your spirit is releasing something else. It's the fruit of the spirit, not the fruit of emotions. It's not the condition or the state of your emotions. It's a fruit. The Holy Spirit empowers you. That's why it's supernatural. That's why it's not natural. Stop trying to be natural. And suddenly, there is what we call the fullness of joy. Suddenly, as you're doing that, you're rejoicing in the Lord, and the presence of God saturates. Because wherever there is his praise, he inhabits the praises. You want to see God manifest, begin to praise. When you praise him, he arises. Hey, he arises. Somebody hear what I'm saying? The presence of God, and the Bible says, in his presence, there is what's fullness of joy? That joy getting to the point where it overflows over your emotions. It now supplants the sorrows, the grief in your emotions. It supersedes it, that it supersedes every other emotions. And suddenly joy takes over you. That's where the singing now begins and shouting. That's where the rejoicing and the excitement, but it's no longer a normal excitement. Because it's an excitement that came from the Spirit. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anytime the enemy is tampering with your joy, he's tampering with your harvest. Be careful. Be careful. Give me Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Watch this. First, please. Hold your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 3. Not verse 6. Chapter 6, sorry. Chapter 9. I want you to hold your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read that scripture and read it aloud. One to go. I'm not hearing you. They before you, according to the joy. I'm not hearing you. They rejoice before you according to the joy. As men rejoice when they. What's the spoil? The things you take after a victory. Somebody under the sound of my voice, hear me. Whenever you begin to stir up the joy of the Holy Spirit within you by rejoicing, when you begin to rejoice in the Lord always, not sometimes, again I say rejoice, what happens is that your harvest comes to due seasons. What happens is that the spoils of victory are delivered to you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Somebody shout the joy of harvest. Shout it again, the joy of harvest. When last did you have a measure of harvest? Good measures pressed down, shaking together and running over. When last did you put in one and receive multiple folds? When last did you enjoy an increase from the Lord? It might be that God is waiting on your joy. God is waiting on your rejoicing. Not sometimes. Rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. God is waiting for the unleashing of your joy. There is something about joy. Joy instructs the harvest. It is time. Joy instructs the victory. It is time. Is somebody hearing me? Joy aspires the night. Weeping endures in the night. But joy comes. When I release my joy, the night will expire. It means it's morning time. Somebody's night is expiring today. Somebody's night is expiring today. That suffering, that trial that has overstayed this time, as you rejoice, expires today. In the name of Jesus. I've got to release this. I have to release this. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. I've got to release this. Hold your neighbor. We're going to read to verse 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to verse 19. Hold that neighbor. So when you're facing tough seasons, when you're facing famine, when you're facing dryness, nothing is moving. Everywhere dry. Listen to this. One to go. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olives may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd. Is that famine? Is that stagnation? Is there lack? Is that hardship? Continue, verse 18. Yet, joy is in the spirit, rejoicing lets it out. You don't release joy by thinking it. You release joy by rejoicing. It's in your praises. It's in your thanksgiving. It's in your shout. It's in your jumping. It's in your dancing. But what's the difference? The difference is not excitement. It's not because of the music. It's not because pastor preached good. It's not because we are all shouting. Somebody say, rejoice in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. There is something about God's goodness that I remember. There is something about God's faithfulness that I remember. There is something about the victory of my prophecy that I remember. There is something God has said over me, the prophetic that I remember. It's about the work of God. It's about the grace of God. It's about the mercy of the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Somebody read that verse 18 again. One, two, go. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Are you already seeing that your deliverance is here? Are you already seeing that your victory is here? Are you already seeing that your increase is here? Are you already seeing that your lifting is here? Do you see it? Now, what's the result? Verse 19. What's the result? Verse 19. When I do that, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What happens? The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like a deer's feet. He will make me walk on high hills. The high, speed on my feet. 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 Change of levels. Change of stories. Change of levels. Change of stories. Let me tell you something. I've got to be real to you. Many years ago, certain things will happen, I cry. But God began to teach me this. And suddenly I began to meditate on it. Then I cry a little and I rejoice. Then I cry a little and I rejoice. Then I cry a little until it came to a point where I no longer cry. Something has happened to me. That, are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody say, I have joy in the Holy Spirit. Say, the kingdom is not about talking, complaining, sorrowing, arguing. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you cry, you get weak. When you rejoice, you get strong. The joy of the Lord is yours. Step away from this message. I'm gonna leave you. Somebody that is under the sound of my voice, there is a joy in your spirit that must be released. There is something about your life that you must be released. Open your mouth and rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you. Every head bow, every eyes closed. The joy of the Lord is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is imparted on the spirit of one who has come to Christ and is recreated. If therefore any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So wherever you are, you have not given your heart to Jesus, you may shout with us, but you can't partake of this joy. Today, you know that Jesus Christ died for our sins, shed his blood, that our sins be forgiven and that we be redeemed. You know that. You know in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you believe it, that everyone who calls upon his name may receive that new life. You want to do that? Today is your day. You hear the voice of God. Do not harden your heart. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus today? Also, you have been backsliding and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. As I call for you, and then lift your hands if you want to do that. You want to give your heart to Jesus and you want to rededicate your life. Lift it very high as I pray for you. God bless you there. On the galleries, everywhere, both the right side, lift it high until there is somebody. God bless you. I'm seeing you at the back there. God bless you. Lift it very high until there is a counselor by your side. Maleporo Sakataya. Father, I pray for this ones. I want you to pray after me. Say, Father, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, shed his blood, that I might be redeemed and my sins be forgiven me. Today, I receive that free gift. I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I am free from my sins. By what Jesus has done for me, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ was buried, and on the third day that you raised him from the dead, that whoever believes in him and confesses him as Lord will receive a new life. Today, Father, I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I confess his name and I receive this new life. I receive this new life into my spirit. And I boldly receive that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. I boldly declare, I am saved. I am born anew. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am no longer a sinner, no longer in my sins, for I have received the free gift of life and that of righteousness. I am your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Baptize me with your spirit and empower me to live for you. Keep me from falling and present me before your glorious presence on that day of Christ. Thank you, Father, for saving me, for giving me a new life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you have received that, shout your loudest amen. Amen. If you're giving your life or rededicated your life, lift your hands as I pray for you. Father, I pray that you guard this one jealously as the apple of your eyes. Let no one and let nothing. Do not let the evil one pluck them away from your hands. This is my confidence that the good work you have started today, you are faithful to complete at the end. Perfect them in all things. Establish their hearts in the truth, in grace and in righteousness. Embolden them and empower them with that passion to live for you, to serve you, and to abide in your love, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Anoint them specially. Make a name for yourself with these ones all over the world. Send them forth as a message, as a seed, as living epistles read by all men. Glorify yourself through their lives. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. My Lord, make you a name, a fame, a praise, and an honor to his name in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Welcome to the family of God. I say, welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah.